This is OPB's Morning Edition. I'm Tim Monicum. We're getting near crunch time in the Oregon legislature. Legislative leaders this week introduced an eye-catching list of potential budget cuts, ranging from squeezing funding for schools to cutting health insurance for 350,000 poor Oregonians. OPB's senior political reporter Jeff Mapes is here to help us sort through what is happening and to talk about what we might see in the last few months of the legislature. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning to you, Tim.
So first off, remind us why we're hearing about such big cuts. I mean, the economy is strong. Unemployment is at a record low right now.
Yeah, that's certainly the big question being asked in Salem. You know, is this a result of years of overspending or a failure of the tax system to provide stable funding? I think there are elements of both in causing this $1.6 billion shortfall. A lot of it is due to the state having to shoulder a bigger share of health care costs for the poor and elderly. It's a state-federal program. Some of it is due to rising state pension costs. There's simply more Oregonians. You know, that means more kids in schools, more people who need a wide variety of services.
How real is the threat of budget cuts?
You know, I think it really varies. For example, I don't think they're going to end up taking health coverage away from lower-income Oregonians who gained this through Obamacare. Legislators say they're making progress on a deal to renew and extend taxes on the health care industry. But there isn't such a relatively easy solution for schools or for human services programs that serve struggling Oregonians, you know, whether we're talking about foster kids, disabled, or people are in need to our aid to needy families. Now the big question is, are legislators going to be able to cut a deal to get more taxes to ease those budget cuts?
Okay, so that leads us to the next question. What is the status of those negotiations?
Well, we're still early in this dance. There's almost, in many ways, sort of a predictable pattern to how all this goes in the legislature. I mean, the Democratic legislative leaders released these possible budget cuts to show the impact of a new no new taxes budget, and Republican lawmakers reacted pretty predictably, you know, charging the Democrats were trying to scare voters into supporting tax increases. The Republicans and their allies in the business community, they're demanding that legislators reduce the structural costs of state government before they consider any tax increases. They want reductions in things like pension and health care costs. Now, Democrats say they're willing to find their own efficiency cuts, and they've shown a willingness, for example, to talk about pension changes. But the hardcore negotiations probably won't start until after mid-May. That's when the state gets a new revenue forecast, tells them how much money they'd have to spend under the existing tax system. So we'll see.
And it sounds like at some point the governor might try to broker a deal. What kind of taxes might we see?
Well, I think the most ambitious thing Democratic lawmakers are working on is replacing the entire corporate income tax system with a tax based on how much corporations sell in Oregon. The idea is to get a simpler, fairer system that would also raise money. Now, this takes bipartisan approval because the state constitution requires a 3/5 vote of the legislature to raise taxes. This provision was approved by voters several years ago. Now, Democrats are short of the supermajority they need to do it on their own. But here's one other possibility. You know, remember how the Republicans in the U.S. Senate invoked the so-called nuclear option to get rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court nominations? Well, we might have a nuclear option at the state level. Our own Supreme Court a year ago in a decision suggested that this 3/5 majority requirement might only apply to increases in tax rates or a brand new tax, but legislators might be able to trim tax breaks on just a majority vote, you know, raise more revenue this way. Now, this would be a politically risky move for the Democrats, you know, but just the threat to do it could be a useful bargaining chip. So here we go.
Yeah, and we've seen it used on the national level. It could happen here in Oregon. I wanted to follow up with a couple of items you mentioned. First, you said the Democrats may be willing to negotiate on state pensions, which I assume refers to PERS. The legislature's efforts a few years ago was thrown out by the court. What can they do now?
Well, the court did actually provide a few avenues for them. I mean, you could say they're pretty narrow lanes, but essentially they said you can make some changes to pensions for future service of people who are, you know, either new PERS employees or who are still active in the system. So, for example, you can say starting from this point forward, we're going to give you a lower pension benefit. We're going to ask, for example, that some of your contributions will go towards shoring up the system. But once again, it's only for benefits related to future work that you've done after the date of this law. This is still a very fraught issue for Democrats. You know, I mean, their allies and organized labor are not happy about this at all. But, you know, the Republicans are pushing hard on this. And, you know, the danger is that if nothing is done, PERS rates are going over next several years are going to climb as high as 30% of payroll. And that's a pretty scary prospect to, you know, virtually everybody in government, schools, et cetera.
But again, this is addressing future, not what's already been promised in the
past. And in fact, one of the things that it's interesting, I was talking to Tim Knope, a state senator from Bend, who's one of the most prominent Republicans trying to reduce PERS costs. I mean, once again, the public employees have not been happy about what he's been doing. He's now saying, you know, there's really nothing you can do to reduce PERS rates over the next two budget cycles, 2 years budget cycles. You know, so in other words, 17, 19, 19, 21, because they're kind of baked in. And in fact, they're not even fully funding in the shortfall that we faced in the system because they don't want too big of a rate shock. So what he's really talking about, he says he's come to realize this, that really you're talking about trying to keep from getting to that 30% rate for stuff that would not start affecting the rate until like 2021 or something like that, which is an eternity in politics. But if you made these changes, you would start doing things that would affect workers now or at least affect the value of their future pension.
Another issue, something else that was thrown out by the voters last fall, that was Measure 97, which was a business corporate tax. There is a proposal right now that sounds very much like it.
On the surface it is because they're both gross receipts taxes, and sort of the shorthand way to describe them is a tax on sales by corporations. Now, they're structured very, very differently, and so that's the question is whether they're like that at all. The measure that voters defeated called for a 2.5% gross receipts tax on sales by corporations doing more than $25 million a year in sales. So really, it took a fairly small slice of corporations in Oregon, you know, about 1,000, I think. And it was a very high rate. This 2.5% rate was higher than any gross receipts tax on business anywhere in the country. Really kind of something that was untried. And opponents successfully argued, really, that this was kind of a hidden backdoor sales tax. Now, in this new one, what they're trying to do is sort of do tax reform and tax raising at the same time. And the bill would have a much lower rate. It would be probably less than 1%. So it wouldn't affect businesses quite so much. And it would be spread out much, much more widely, essentially to any corporation in Oregon. And so the idea is – you know, it would be much simpler. You'd get rid – also the key thing is you'd get rid of the corporate income tax altogether. Mm. So it would save them the hassle.
So there's always some give and take.
Yeah, and there would be winners and losers to that. And the business community is already split on that. Sort of the mainstream business community, the big business lobbies, I think they're very interested in pursuing talk of this. There are some more conservative elements of the business community that are already running ads – criticizing gross receipts taxes of any kind, saying, hey, folks, it's just a sales tax, which you know we don't like in Oregon. So you've got a lot of very interesting elements going on here. But the
net result they're looking for is more money for the state and maybe less spending from the state.
And that's also, I think, perhaps a more stable tax system. I think you can argue that if you tax corporate sales, that's a more stable tax than trying to tax their profits, which – you know, can vary much more widely.
And, of course, you'll be keeping an eye on that. Jeff, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
That's Jeff Mapes, OPB's senior political reporter.